Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me, Lisa Murphy.
Hello, good morning.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
Oh, that's very, very good job on the introductions. Let me make a note. Okay, what are we talking about today?
Documentation distraction.
Oh.
Because it's D-Week.
Acting.
Please pause. I'm making notations now.
Okay,
so what are we talking about here?
One of our top fans said that...
top fans? Is there any... Let's break that. Says who?
Whatever the analytics are on the Facebook.
Oh, well, okay.
She offered documentation and how this distraction interferes with quality interactions with the children it is supposed to benefit as a topic for us to unpack during Pod Week. And of course, you know, I lift it and I toss it out to you guys. Of course, I have questions, though, prior. Like, what is the definition? That's me. What do you mean by documentation? And how are you meaning documentation that's different from observation? And so what is, you know, what is your understanding of this process? Because I think a lot of the, you know... And this will piss somebody off, but a lot of the really sexy, pretty Reggio-inspired documentation boards I've seen, that takes a lot of time and effort and energy. And I'm not saying don't do it, but I kind of what we talked about in the last session, if you're overly focused now on making sure that the shadow boxes on the wall are, you know, pretty and whatever, if it's causing you to lose the spot, then you've you're missing the point.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You know, and I realize that, you know, I don't want to ever sound like that, you know, out of touch person, you know, like, I don't want to always be like, well, back in the day, you know, we...
Well, a lot of times it sounds like we're the grouchy old puppets in the Muppet Show.
I can picture them. I love those two.
Those guys. I mean, to me, documentation was, and also for new listeners, you need to know Jeff and I don't on purpose, like, try to be assholes.
No, people encourage it on the internet.
And there is, I think, an element of getting older and a little bit more relaxed in how we would be working with children. But even kind of before there were phrases like documentation panels.
We were assholes before the internet.
We were assholes before the internet. And, like, to me, documentation was organically occurring when Hannah wanted to hang up all of her pictures on the wall, and she knew where the tape was, and she knew she had access to the wall, and she wanted to display that. So, depending on the definition...
Display? Oh, I thought you said splay.
No, display.
I thought that was the way she said it or something.
No,
display this.
No, she claimed the back of the door, and that's where she wanted to... She thought she was a horse. It was a really interesting year with her. And so she would draw these pictures all the time, and she that was her art gallery. And so, depending on the definition of documentation that you might feel more pulled to or drawn to, if at the heart of documentation is somehow capturing the child's thought process or the understanding or, you know, what their knowledge is of this particular thing, We saw exactly what her knowledge level was. Now, was it sexy and pretty and teacher-ed? Not at all. But I would argue it was 100% meaningful, you know, for her, which to me at the end of the day is what matters.
You glossed over something I need to go back to.
Oh, okay.
She thought she was a horse?
She did. It was hilarious. Not hilarious in like we teased her about a day, uh-huh. But she would come in on all fours and she liked to put like bridle. She'd put a stick in and, you know, didn't mind if you like led her around and she'd whinny. It was awesome. I did change her name. I said Hannah, but that wasn't her name. But
Hannah, if you've recognized yourself and you're listening to the show and you still identify as a horse, please message us. I'd love to have you on the show and talk about Lisa Murphy in the olden days. That's delightful. I love that. And we've had kids that are versions of that. What's his name? He used to think he was a tractor or something?
He wanted to be a tractor.
Wanted to grow up to be a tractor.
Yes,
that's
yes. Awesome. That was his birthday wish. He wanted to be a tractor when he grew up.
And now he's designing the Transformers. He's like, this is the closest I can get.
He's kind of into that kind of stuff, actually. Documentation is so much easier when it's real. And
I'll be careful there. Like, so I like to think, and maybe this isn't how it comes across to our listeners. I don't know. I like to think that people don't assume that we're going to be ripping stuff apart just because it's suggested. Did that come out right? Like I'm not in any way, manner, shape, or form saying that documentation is bad or
absolutely.
That you shouldn't do it. I think you should be able to articulate why you're doing it and at the end of the day what your goals and objectives are about it. But, you know, at the heart of capturing, you know, that's not the hill I'm going to die on. But if how you're doing it is taking away from your job.
And I think there are probably hows out there that tend to maybe be more
cutie,
distracting and cutie and time consuming than
others. So would you
others.
Say unnecessary?
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 Probably. I think, it's hard because I've got this kind of mindset where I'm like, the more we systematically observe and take notice of things in the environment, the more effective we can be at altering that environment to best meet the needs of the kids here and now. But I also know that the ways we do those things sometimes can kind of pull away from the moment and create inauthentic moments, so we're not getting a real view of how kids act or behave or engage.
So to that, if I have a classroom that is what I would say like this big, pretty, Pinteresty level of documentation, it's pretty when you walk in. Do you think that somehow then I feel that I'm doing a better job? Is my teaching somehow viewed to an outsider as more effective or better or more credible? You know what I'm saying?
Some people that might walk into that environment, sure.
To the wolves.
Yeah.
To somebody who's finally coming out of the ivory tower and touring through a couple of their centers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that room
or even
going
just
to
the
look
UPS
better?
Guy.
The UPS guy? Does this room, who's now maybe looking for childcare for his kid, you know?
It's so hard. And I think another piece of this is a lot of times systems are set up to document the easy stuff.
But do you also think, though, sometimes it makes a bigger deal out of stuff that is just stuff that happens on a regular basis? I don't even have an authentic example. You know, like you see a bunch of, okay, I'm making this up, so help me along the way. You see a bunch of, you put loose parts out on the yard, a lot of PVC pipes, some things to stack, so like really large three-dimensional creations could get made, and you decide to pull from that a documentation display board of how the two-year-olds were engaged in an exploration of engineering concepts. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I get that at the heart of it, that's sometimes what the wolf language is for. But I'd like to think that we save it for when we really need it. as opposed to making every single thing that the children do, like, why does it need to be, like, shining a light on, like...
Detailing like, every little nuance of
and
it.
Making, and making, like, a bigger deal out of it.
Instead of just a simple little sentence that said, this is what
when
it is.
When you observe this kind of play, are there elements of engineering in here? Of course there are.
Yeah.
But do I need to make it sound like now on the brochure that then the children are engaged in pre-engineering? You know, like I think sometimes it doesn't have the effect that we like to think that it would have. Like, we make it a bigger deal.
We live in a world where it's almost like everything needs to be a blockbuster fucking Marvel
like
movie.
Showcased is the word that's coming into my head.
Yeah.
Like, is it in some environments not enough just to let them do it? Like, why do I have to capture something to make it look more important for you to think that I know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me to be charging you the weekly fee that I'm charging you?
I just thought of an example that even at this podcast I can't say, so I'll mention it.
Then
off,
why did you bring
air.
It?
Because
it's a teaser.
It's in my head. It's funny to me.
You know, I think, I mean, I used to walk around with a little notebook in my pocket, like total old school, right? And like one of those little homework notebooks that fit into your back pocket. And I had, because I thought it was super clever and then I found out it was like a thing, I had assigned every kid a symbol because I thought, in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, if this falls out of my pocket, you know, it's not like everybody's name and the observations are all right there for everybody to see. So
it'll
like
be decoded.
Right, yeah, exactly. You needed a special ring to like, hold up the decoder ring. And I would use these observations and then would then have those, what I noticed, kind of inform maybe practice right away, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe it was just I'm looking for a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I think that observation is different than documentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the documentation thing, the idea of making learning visible, I think that's important. But I think we need to be able to apply common sense occasionally and realize that the prettiness sometimes becomes more of the focus.
Yeah, yeah, and I think a good measure of when we're going overboard with the documentation is when we feel that we're, again, not seeing that spot, when we're spinning, when we're feeling pulled away from the here and now interactions and needs and engagement with those little humans. If you're focusing on, you got to get that display board up so that the United Way tour that's coming in tomorrow afternoon will see that learning's going on here from actually engaging with children and the environment you've created, that might be kind of a personal signal that you're maybe off track a little bit.
And if you find yourself starting to set up the space with your intention being to capture something for the documentation board, at that point, I don't care how play-based you might claim to be, you now have an agenda.
So if you're an early learning influencer and you're staging play environments for your fucking Instagram?
Perhaps.
I mean, I don't know if that really happens. I would hope it doesn't, but I'm thinking we live in a world where it might.
Well, and you know,
I don't follow anybody that does that.
I wonder,
if
you identify as a early childhood influencer, I bet there are some people who do. Some of the blogs that perhaps are out there. Anyway, let's stay a little on topic. But I remember, and this just jumped in my head, there was a block book that came out a couple years ago, and I wrote a book report on it, and I read it through once, and I think I might have unpacked this a little with you guys, is that after I read it, I couldn't understand why I was having this really kind of an emotional response to the book, and I was like, I'm not able to even articulate. I have no words for why some of this was bugging me. And I think it was because of this, like certain things were being expected, like it wasn't okay to build for the sake of building for the sake of building. I wanted you to build because then I wanted to be able to give you a clipboard and a Sharpie marker so that you could capture what you built, so that drawing of what you built could be on the board. So it just didn't seem authentic enough to me,
mm-hmm.
You know? Who is deciding what gets to be displayed?
Oh yeah, because we've got our own filters that we're running these things through, and and the decider is really the arbiter of what parents and outsiders, funders, whoever are seeing of that program. So we might be documenting the
our value, what yeah. I see as value in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Or what we want other people to value.
Exactly. Or what we think the outsiders do value. Whereas let's imagine a really super outdoor messy art experience, like a bunch of paint is being used, a bunch of creativity, a lot of language, everything's going on.
Look good on Instagram.
And it would look good on, but even if I just highlighted one element of it, through what lens am I deciding the piece
what,
of
what
this
caught your eye?
In
observing this.
You know, and how true is what I'm documenting? How true is what I'm choosing? How true is that for what the children actually got out of it? You know, and this is where I don't have any knowledge to speak from, is that how often are the children the deciders as to what is getting displayed on a documentation panel?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in addition to, and maybe a little bit beyond that, if we're choosing to document that thing that looks good on Instagram, we may be passing up the opportunity to document that of the three teachers that work throughout the day in that classroom, two of them fucking hate each other and can't get along. And long term, being able to document the dysfunction of that relationship is probably more important in that classroom than the thing that looks cool on Instagram.
But it's not the sexy piece.
Yeah, and it's harder to measure. It's harder to document. And so a lot of times we step back from attending to those kind of things because the sexy, easy-to-document thing is going to get us more likes. More likes, more funding, more whatever it is.
And how our biases potentially influence that as well. And the comment I was going to make about, you know, really perhaps pushing the envelope was that I really still do believe that as a female-dominated profession, that a lot of our classrooms environmentally, the way that they are set up, are unintentionally excluding certain kids in it. And I don't want to turn it into a boy-girl thing because that's not where I'm going, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of early childhood environments are overly pretty, and they're not gritty enough, and they're not big enough, and they're not messy enough, and I think that turns some people off. And so if we're continually perpetuating that small, cute, bitch, shiny bob, you know, pretty, 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 I think it continues to send an unbalanced message visually of what high-quality, play-based early childhood environments look like. It's not celebrating, I don't think, as much of that seedier, I like to call it the underbelly side of play. Whether that's inside or outside or loose parts or otherwise, you know, are we only capturing the pretty stuff?
Well, yeah. Last Child in the Woods talks about the fact that kids are drawn to those rough
the dead
edges.
Things. Yeah.
And so I think we don't feel that. And now I know programs out there that through their Instagram account or whatever that do a good job
yes,
of documenting.
Yes, and I'm thinking
those
of them in my head. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think a lot of programs fail to create those environments, but if they have them, they often fail to share them because they're worried about how they'll be perceived by a portion of the people that pay attention to them. So I think there's,
well, and it could go back
some self-editing going on there, maybe.
Definitely, and I think I startled Tasha.
It's
actually.
Like what? I need to pay attention here.
To me, it went back to the overselling and under-delivering. So let's say again, and sorry for all the hypotheticals today, but you know, if I'm putting up on Instagram a certain style or visual mm-hmm. of my program. And so all you know me from is my Instagram feed, and it's cute, and it's pretty, and it's play, but it's pretty cute, small play, documentation boards that took me 16 hours to put together. Then when you walk in one day and you see actually, you know, half-naked kids rolling around in the mud with boxes that I got, and, you know, if you're always sending a certain message, do you perhaps make your window smaller of what becomes then accepted at your particular program, right? A different mm-hmm. selling and delivery.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When really maybe you were open to all of this stuff the whole time, but without realizing it, you were sending a visual image or a visual message very much on one side yeah. of the spectrum, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you only show parents the tour, if you make sure that everything is put away when you do tours, you are sending an inaccurate message of the reality of this
Definitely.
Place. I think I was using too many words. You know, you need to let the parents and visitors and the UPS guy see the reality of having potentially 200 children in a space at one time.
Yeah. I mean, we need to, putting that effort into documenting in some way or another those harder to document.
Real pieces?
Yeah. And they may be, the reason maybe we don't pay attention to them is because they are kind of mundane. And they're not the exciting, sexy thing.
It's not the bright, shiny object that catches your eye.
Yeah, it's just kind of...
And documentation.
A lot of them are maybe more foundational things.
But maybe that's currently what our culture might need, is a reminder that everything isn't always a blockbuster hit.
Yeah.
That a lot of times working with kids is...
Yeah, and I mean...
A little...
Just thinking about how do you document the development of a relationship between a newborn in a program, how do you document over the next 4 years the relationship between that child and their caregiver? That's
a
much bigger task.
That is
a
much more important relationship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's just...
But how are we capturing
structurally,
that?
It's harder to capture than, look at the cool thing we did with green paint.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend not to attend to them. And, I mean, maybe we do...
But they're not posted on Instagram.
Yeah,
maybe some of those tender moments that we see, you know, somebody, the eye contact with the baby and a caregiver or provider, or that capturing that sense of wonder, or, you know, and I'm not saying that these pictures don't exist.
It's harder to share and pull together and kind of attend to, I think. What was the original question?
Documentation and how this distraction interferes with quality interactions with the children that it's supposed to be benefiting.
So we got totally distracted from that.
Well, no, I think we got on that. I mean, you know, just the idea that if I'm more focused on my display board, then I might be taking time away from sitting on the floor and engaging in a real, real meaningful way with the children who are showing up in here.
Yeah.
You know, so I have this really pretty thing on the wall, but the kids, you know, I don't even know their last names.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering, too, with the documentation, are you observing all the children and getting them all, or just those ones that seem to be the main stage, almost? Not the little quiet one off in the corner who seems to do the same thing all the time.
And I think that would be, like, what is the intention then behind this particular round of documentation? Mm-hmm. Are we highlighting a project? Are we highlighting an activity? Is it just highlights from a day in the life of room six?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to move that we end this episode, and when we come back with another one on documenting and how it distracts while we're trying to do it. And I'm talking about things like when you walk in with the video on the iPad flowing, how that changes what's going on in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, we did use kind of a limited definition of documentation.
Yeah, so maybe there's another
conversation
media
to have there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Tasha Johnson and Lisa Murphy. You find Lisa Murphy at ooeygooey.com. Go over and get that new book from Red Leaf Press. What's it called, Lisa?
Lisa Murphy on Child-Centered Environments.
And if you Google that, you'll find the book. It's out there. I want to do a little plug for a new show we got coming out. Started recording a new show just a couple days ago as we record this with Angela Hanscom, author of Balanced and Barefoot.
Woohoo!
Going to be a short form podcast, 5 to 7 minutes is what we're starting out with episodes. Recorded 7 of them with Angela the other day, and she's kind of new to podcasting, and it's going to take her a couple episodes to get comfortable with it. She was a little bit uncomfortable with it, but she thought it was a fun adventure, and we're really
awesome.
Looking forward to this, and we're gonna dig into her perspective on a lot of this as an occupational therapist who works with play as the occupation of children. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
And we can roll right into it.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.